Vehicles were submerged and people waded through knee-deep water when the heaviest single-day rainfall in 15 years lashed the city this month.
The waterline rises in parts of India. It's Monday, August 17th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll find us online at Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube, all under the name VOA Asia. Also ahead, New Zealand under renewed lockdown. Pompeo again warns of Chinese security threat. Coronavirus politics and bankruptcies. A gift from space. It's all on today's VOA Asia. In India, the annual monsoon season has led to widespread flooding and other disasters, killing at least 150 people and displacing or affecting nearly 8 million others, from vast rural areas in the north and east to states in the south and west. Experts blame the deadly flooding on climate change and warn that unless more attention is paid to sustainable development, such disasters could worsen in years to come. We hear more from Anjana Pasricha in New Delhi.
This hillside, once a lush tea plantation, collapsed as heavy monsoon rains lashed India's southern Kerala state. Dozens were buried under the rubble.
Our children are no more. We have nobody else left in the world.
In the far north and east, millions grappled with a trail of destruction as rivers, swollen by monsoon rains, inundated farmland, villages and homes in some of India's poorest states, Assam and Bihar. Some built their own rafts to navigate the waters. Relief was slow to come due to the coronavirus pandemic. Rare one-horned rhinos drowned in a wildlife park. Experts warn such large-scale flooding has become an annual feature as climate change alters the pattern of the South Asian monsoon season. Short, intense bursts of rain have become more frequent instead of the steady showers that traditionally rejuvenated thirsty soils.
If you have more than 100 millimeters of rainfall within 24 hours, it's called an extreme rainfall. But the problem now is that we are getting 100 millimeters of rainfall within an hour now. So even the definition of extreme rainfall events will have to change. Considering the quantity of rain, the intensity of rainfall that we are experiencing now.
Cities have not been spared the havoc of changing monsoon patterns. In Mumbai, vehicles were submerged and people waded through knee-deep water when the heaviest single-day rainfall in 15 years lashed the city this month. Experts blame the flooding on rapid urbanization that has led to a construction boom in cities in what were traditional drainage areas.
Especially in many of the riverfronts or in the cities like in Mumbai, there is number of streams or small rivers called the nalas. All these nalas are encroached by, various people due to, heavy encroachments. So what happens is all the places where the water can go, that is drastically decreased.
The floods are costly catastrophes. They account for nearly two-thirds of the economic losses caused by natural disasters. The damage over three decades is estimated at $50 billion. That is why measures to protect riverfronts and revive lakes and swamps must be prioritized.
The first point is recognizing that there is a problem. The second point is understanding that this problem can be solved in an economically viable manner. It is not expensive.
Experts warn, if the call for addressing climate change and sustainable development goes unheeded, such scenes will continue to ravage the poorest communities. Anjana Pasricha for VOA News, New Delhi.
We invite you to read more on this and all the other stories that you hear on VOA Asia by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook at VOA Asia, and you can stop by the voanews.com website. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. South Korea ready to talk with Japan over historic disputes. South Korea and United States delay military drills over COVID-19 concerns. U.S. asks Afghans to swiftly begin peace talks to deter spoilers. Prime Minister Modi says India has 3 COVID trials underway. Masks hold images of pandemic and Hong Kong protests. You'll find expanded coverage of all these stories and so much more when you visit Facebook at VOA Asia. Also stop by the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. New Zealand is extending a nationwide lockdown after more COVID-19 infections were detected. 4 mystery cases diagnosed in Auckland on Tuesday were the first to have been locally transmitted in more than 100 days. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern expects more infections to emerge in the coming days. Auckland is New Zealand's biggest city and will be subject to a Level 3 coronavirus lockdown, while the rest of the country will remain at Level 2. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
A dozen new COVID-19 cases have been detected in New Zealand. In a country where until this week there were no local infections for more than 100 days, this number is significant. A 3-day nationwide lockdown due to expire Friday is being extended. The emergency centres on a cluster of cases in Auckland. The origin of the infections is still being investigated. 38 people are in government quarantine. New Zealand's biggest city will remain under Level 3 coronavirus restrictions until later this month at least. Bars, restaurants and schools are shut and most workers forced to stay at home. The rest of New Zealand, a country of 5 million people, is on a Level 2 lockdown in a 4-tier alert system, which means public gatherings are limited to 100 people and strangers must physically distance. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern says her cautious approach is warranted as the COVID-19 outbreak gets worse.
It will grow before it slows, and it may continue to be linked to schools, churches and social gatherings as it has done to date. In keeping with our precautionary approach and New Zealand's philosophy of going hard and going early, today Cabinet has agreed to maintain our current settings for an additional 12 days.
Last month, the World Health Organization highlighted New Zealand as an example for having successfully eliminated community transmission. In June, Prime Minister Ardern said the country had united in unprecedented ways to crush the virus. But the new cases are a reminder, even in places where the virus had seemingly vanished, that outbreaks can still happen. New Zealand's international borders remain closed to foreign nationals. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Happening now in Asia, thousands of protesters called for radical changes to the Thai government Sunday, the latest in near daily protests led by students against the government. Bangkok police estimated 10,000 attendees, the largest Thailand has seen since the 2014 coup. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're starting out a brand new week. We're glad to have you with us on VOA Asia. China was the topic U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo focused on during his trip to Eastern Europe, where he warned leaders in the Czech Republic, Slovenia, and Austria that China's Communist Party poses an even bigger security threat than the former Soviet Union. VOA's diplomatic correspondent Cindy Sain has more on Pompeo's trip to Eastern Europe.
On his tour of Eastern Europe, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo sought to strengthen bilateral ties on a range of issues. He acknowledged the unrest in Belarus following contested elections and the arms embargo on Iran. But the threat posed by China's Communist Party and its telecommunications infrastructure was a central thread running through each stop.
I think the whole world can plainly see now that the Chinese Communist Party is intent on using this telecommunications infrastructure for purposes that no other telecom system in the world does, right? They're using it as deeply tied to their national security apparatus, to their intelligence community, to their military forces, all the data.
China has dismissed Pompeo's warnings, saying that wherever he goes, he always spreads, quote, political viruses, quote, and false information. But the warnings about Huawei and others have already borne fruit, with Pompeo signing a joint declaration with Slovenian Foreign Minister Andrzej Logar that excludes untrusted vendors from 5G networks. One expert told VOA Pompeo's focus on China is having an impact.
I think the administration's leadership on this issue in particular really has helped turn the tide on the question, and I think that more and more countries are going to be falling in line on the issue of Chinese involvement in their next generation telecommunications.
Daniel Kochis told VOA he believes Russia is still a more immediate threat to Central and Eastern Europe than China.
But I think that China still remains somewhat of the longer term threat here. I think that Russia still, because of the threat of military action, because of propaganda, still is sort of the first and foremost threat to the Central European region.
Another expert agreed that Eastern European countries are facing more immediate and pressing issues than the threat from China and urged a more balanced message.
So at the same time that, yes, China is an important element of our foreign policy, and it cannot be the only focus. We have to have a more nimble, more multi-vectored approach to these countries.
Pompeo also consulted with leaders at each stop about the dramatic events in Belarus.
Just as I talked about in the Czech Republic, we want the people of Belarus to have the freedoms that they're demanding, that they think are in their best interests. We watch the protests. We urge that the nonviolent protesters be protected and not harmed.
Austrian Foreign Minister Alexander Schallenberg told reporters the U.S. and the European Union agree that the elections were neither free nor fair. And he said he wants the EU to issue a clear call to Belarus leader Alexander Lukashenko to immediately end the violence and arbitrary detentions and release the remaining prisoners. Cindy Sain, VOA News, Washington.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see with links to find them easily. With VOA Asia, you can also follow radio program host VOA Stevenson and VOA Melman. VOA Asia Twitter. We're always online for you.
This news from VOA Asia, a Japanese bulk carrier that struck a coral reef last month off the Mauritius coast broke apart. About 1,000 tons of oil had already spilled. Emergency teams are trying to pump the remaining 3,000 tons of oil off the ship. Mauritius declared an environmental emergency last week. You'll find all the big stories throughout the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, no more rallies, handshakes are now passé, and selfie lines lasted just one election cycle. Those are just some of the visible changes in American politics thanks to coronavirus. But coronavirus is causing some more subtle changes that will impact the 2020 election and beyond. VOA's Steve Reddish tells us more.
Staples of the American political landscape are now threatened by the coronavirus pandemic, like voting in person, raucous political rallies, and celebratory conventions.
There's a real debate about whether conventions matter.
People will miss the camaraderie, the collegiality, getting together with people they don't see very often on a convention floor. But I'm just not sure how much that counts for the actual activity of an election campaign.
Harlan Bowman analyzes public opinion at the American Enterprise Institute. Although most Americans still want to vote in person, she says they also want to have the option to vote by mail.
And it turns out historically that people who do vote by mail actually turn in their ballots themselves, which I think is quite interesting overall. But this is new territory.
Primary elections held during the pandemic saw some states able to count absentee mail-in ballots promptly while keeping polling places open and moving. Other states experienced embarrassing delays tabulating and validating votes.
I think, unfortunately, for a lot of people, the requirement to do this happened suddenly. There wasn't a lot of long-term planning to say, hey, what happens if we have a pandemic and everyone is trapped in their house? It's just not something people were thinking about. But now they have to do it quickly, and if they're going to be effective, they have to do it right on the first try.
President Donald Trump has seized on scattered and rare instances of fraud in voting by mail, saying it should not be expanded.
I think what he spurred is that, you know, Democratic voters seem much more likely to want to vote by mail than Republican voters, and you know that does set up some perverse incentives for Republicans.
Kyle Condick analyzes elections for Sabato's Crystal Ball at the University of Virginia Center for Politics. He says Americans will miss a basic element of campaigning this year.
So much of being a politician is sort of a tactile profession, in that, you know, you're shaking hands, giving people hugs, you know, interacting closely with people. I think Joe Biden, sometimes to his detriment, he's sort of sometimes been accused of being a little too touchy-feely, basically, in his interactions with people. But he's known as being kind of a warm person and someone who gets up close to people. And you know, you just can't do that.
Clearly, the Trump campaign appears to be concentrating still on in-person contacts. We've certainly seen the Biden campaign being much more of a basement mentality, working very heavily digitally. And it remains to be seen what works. I mean, I'm not so sure I would open a door to a stranger at this point.
A tiny virus has transformed the 2020 campaign, changing politics as we knew it. Steve Reddish, VOA News, Washington.
There is no current evidence that dogs can be infected. Hand washing after contact with all animals is recommended. This protects against other bacteria, such as E. coli and Salmonella, that can pass between animals and humans. For more information, visit www.who.int. or www.cdc.gov.
Now on VOA Asia, the list of U.S. retailers that have filed for bankruptcy this year is long and varied. They range from those selling inexpensive and off-brand goods to century-old name brands that have catered to the rich and famous. Industry experts say many were struggling before the pandemic, which proved to be the final blow. But filing for bankruptcy protection could help save some of them, as we hear from VOA's Mariama Diallo.
Lord & Taylor recently joined a long list of U.S. retailers hit hard by stay-at-home orders spawned by the coronavirus pandemic. Launched in 1824, the department store found in dozens of American shopping malls recently filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection.
And it arguably was the straw that broke the camel's back. Another way to look at this is the pandemic and the associated economic recession accelerated what was already occurring in the industry. We had several retail bankruptcies before the pandemic, and others were teetering on the edge but were trying to forestall bankruptcy.
Months of shutdown in response to the pandemic caused merchandise sales from brick-and-mortar stores to fall precipitously. But Brian Marks says this could present an opportunity for these large operations to transform.
If we look at the major ones of JCPenney, J. Crew, Neiman Marcus, Brooks Brothers, and Lord & Taylor, these are all very strategic moves for this industry to right-size and transform its cost structure. All these operations had significant debt and significant lease liability on the real estate side, except for Lord & Taylor.
Mary Eppner, co-founder of Reagent NYC, a retail analysis group, says Chapter 11 is not a death sentence. To the contrary, it's a tool to reorganize, restructure debt, and embark on a new business strategy.
And you can evaluate your management, your supply chain, your vendor mix, your leases, and the leases become an important topic here.
With numerous locations, stores need revenue to pay their rent in order to stick to their lease contracts. That became hard with the prolonged public health crisis.
Lord & Taylor, maybe 45 locations. J. Crew, close to 500 locations. JCPenney, over 800 locations. They enter into leases for real estate to provide their bricks and mortar operations.
JCPenney is another iconic department store chain that also filed for bankruptcy. The store that started over 100 years ago had nearly 85,000 employees before a reorganization that will see it close about a third of its nearly 850 stores nationwide.
And what's going to happen? I just did a quick count of how many stores JCPenney is planning to close. I believe it's something like almost 160 stores. And 160 stores, they probably have anywhere from 150 to 200 people per store. It's a pretty staggering amount.
Closing mall-based department stores affects every business that shares the mall space.
And it causes a ripple effect throughout the mall, because insofar as customers are still shopping JCPenney, they're coming there and then they're possibly going to a Gap, a Victoria's Secret, a Bath & Body Works, or whatever. So it really hurts. And think about it, if you have a JCPenney and a Lord & Taylor in a mall and they're both closing, it can be pretty shocking and devastating.
Both Eppner and Marks say not all employees will lose their jobs, but there may be a transformation with not so much direct customer service in the store, but more online or in a warehouse for distribution purposes. Mariama Diallo, VOA News, Washington.
A research mission that launched into space more than a decade ago continues to bear ample fruit for scientists on Earth. What began as an operation to learn the origins of our solar system is yielding additional exciting discoveries. VOA's Arash Arabasadi has The Week in Space.
4, 3, 2, main engine start, 1, 0, and liftoff of the...
NASA's Dawn spacecraft mission, launched in 2007, continues to make discoveries. The latest, announced by NASA this week, a saltwater reservoir about 40 kilometers beneath the surface of Ceres, a dwarf planet some 4.5 billion years old that survived the earliest days of our solar system. The aim of the 2007 mission was to study an asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter. In 2015, after examining a giant asteroid named Vesta, Dawn visited Ceres. It ran out of its primary fuel in October 2018, and NASA placed it in orbit to keep it from crashing into anything. NASA currently has no plans to revisit Ceres, but Dawn remains the only spacecraft to orbit the two extraterrestrial destinations.
Ignition. And liftoff.
In other news, fresh off a successful round-trip visit to the International Space Station, SpaceX launched a Falcon 9 rocket from Cape Canaveral carrying 57 Starlink satellites.
You can see the video just came back here of them floating away into space.
The satellites join hundreds of others already in orbit. SpaceX plans to build a 12,000-satellite mega-constellation to beam broadband internet from space to Earth. Finally, these images taken from orbit above Earth show what is believed to be the Yongbyon Nuclear Scientific Research Center near the Kuryong River in North Korea. The pictures suggest recent flooding may have damaged pump houses connected to the country's main nuclear facility. Experts say the images show the area's vulnerability to extreme weather events. Yongbyon is about 100 kilometers north of Pyongyang and home to the facilities thought to be used in the country's nuclear weapons program. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News, Washington.
As we come to the close of another VOA Asia program, you can continue along with us. Follow us on Twitter at VOA Asia, like us on Facebook, and you can also find us on Instagram and YouTube, all at VOA Asia. We thank you so much for joining us, and we thank our team that helps bring this to you, our managing editor, Diane Gao, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, and Keith Lane. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a wonderful start to your week. Be safe. Be well.